Zelfordan, second son of Lord Carvel Zelfordan, Lord of Zelfordan in Evandia.
Norbert looked stunned and softly asked, What are you doing as a mere sergeant in the guard?
Guarding the life of the royal family, as Zelfordans have done since the time of our first king. In addition, my family owes Prince Stephen a personal debt of honor.
He gave Stephen a twisted grin. Even if he denies the debt. Stephen blushed and shook his head. He didn't bother to rehash the old argument about Irwan. After they had eaten, Stephen approached the mayor.
Your pardon, Mayor Zelbeardan, but we are in need of supplies. Can you provide a guide to Prairie Home's traders?
The mayor bowed as she replied,
I will bring them here, Prince Stephen. There are two trading houses represented, one a green merchant and the other a cloth merchant. We have a thriving wool industry here.
Stephen bowed his approval and was soon facing two men and a woman.
Prince Stephen, I am pleased to present Master Traders Alvin Fel Brendan, Sylvanus Fel Kenthan, and Jaspan Kilcordle.
Stephen bowed slightly and turned his attention toward Jaspan.
Master Jaspan, I believe I know two of your cousins.
Jaspan bowed, but he was grinning as well.
No, Prince Stephen, you know two of my sisters. You're from Aravad.
I am,
Jaspan confirmed with a bow.
Karvik said, This seems a bit far afield for a secondary base, Master Kilcordle.
It is, but it isn't,
Master Jaspan replied with a smile.
We're on the way home to Aravad. We got caught in Ray and weren't allowed to leave until Prince Stephen solved their problem.
He turned back towards Stephen and bowed again.
Thank you for dealing with the problem so quickly, Prince Stephen. I didn't want to spend the winter there.
Stephen bowed his head, then turned toward the other traders.
Good masters, we are in need of green, meat, and cheese to continue our journey.
Master Fel Brendan bowed.
It would be an honor to deal with you, Prince Stephen. I've heard you're an accomplished trader. Now what quantity are you seeking?
Stephen and Master Fel Brendan settled into a round of bargaining that left everyone who hadn't seen him in action before thoroughly impressed.
3 gold it is, Master Fel Brendan said in a sorrowful tone.
Stephen laughed.
Don't look like that. You got a fair price for your goods.
Master Fel Brendan bowed and said,
And so did you, young Master Stephen. One I never would have believed had it not been me you were bargaining against. I'll have your supplies ready to load at first light.
Stephen bowed and handed over 3 gleaming golden coins.
As agreed.
They were Renadian crowns, not Cavadian, and Master Fel Brendan smiled when he saw the coins. Renadian crowns were about 16% larger than their Cavadian counterparts. He left the inn with Master Fel Kenthan at his side.
Master Kilcordle was stroking his chin as he looked at Stephen.
I've heard a lot of stories about you, Prince Stephen. You've just confirmed the most outrageous of them.
Would it be possible to convince you to raid with my caravan?
Karvik said, That would slow us down quite a bit.
Master Jaspan grinned as he said,
I have an excellent cook.
Stephen looked at Karvik and grinned.
Karvik took a deep breath and shook his head. You're the one who has to explain it to King Keelan.
Stephen turned toward Jaspan and bowed his head slightly.
We would be delighted.
Jaspan bowed deeply.
We're hitting the road again just after first light, Prince Stephen.
Then so are we,
Stephen said. With that, the trader left the inn, and Stephen turned his attention back to the mayor.
And on the subject of trade, what is our stay going to cost me?
Norbert looked offended and said,
I'll not take a blessed spark from the blessed of Arendar.
Stephen looked around and said,
Please, I insist. We're an expensive lot to feed and house.
The mayor turned and grabbed her husband's arm, and they had a heated but whispered discussion. When she turned back, she bowed.
Prince Stephen, we will accept a silver crown for each of your men,
but allow us the honour of hosting you. That would be our duty to you as a prince, even if there were no other considerations."
Stavin bowed, satisfied with the price and their reasoning. The sun had gone down, and he soon caught himself yawning.
"Time for bed,"
was all he needed to say. Within moments he was upstairs in a nice, comfortable room. Karvik nodded after he searched the room.
"You're alone tonight. My team is taking the watch."
Stavin nodded, then let Karvik help him out of his armor. He was asleep almost as soon as his head hit the pillows. A knock on the door woke him, and Varric's voice said,
"That's 4 spans till first light, Steve."
"I am up,"
he said, as he struggled to his feet.
"Come in and help me armor up."
Varric did as he was asked, and soon Stavin was ready to go. The inn common room was filled with his men, so Stavin just picked a table and sat down. It wasn't long before Karvik joined him.
"Sleep good?"
"Like a rock."
Karvik nodded.
"I already asked for eggs, meat, and oat porridge with honey."
Stavin sighed.
"Good,"
as he looked around. His men were already eating, and the smell of carver filled the room. One of the mayor's daughters brought a tray laden with steaming cups to the table, and Karvik grabbed two, then waved her on. He took a sip of the first one, then handed it to Stavin.
"Not too hot," he muttered,
"but it's strong."
Stavin had to agree.
"It's still better than I make."
Karvik nodded.
"I detailed Sergeant Zelfordan's team to get the horses ready."
"Good. True likes him."
Their food was delivered then, and Stavin didn't waste any time once Karvik had given the food his nod of approval. Their meal completed, Stavin stood and walked to the mayor's side.
"As agreed, 3 gold and 3 silver crowns. "As agreed, Prince Stavin. We wish you a prosperous future and smooth roads ahead."
Stavin bowed, then led the way outside. True greeted him with a toss of her mane, and he spent a moment caressing her neck.
"Don't act like that. I know you too well to think you're really mad at me."
She shook her head as he mounted, but that was the extent of her objection. Stavin rode around the inn to find the caravan waiting. He guided True to the lead wagon.
"We've got to pick up our supplies before we go."
"We took the liberty of bringing them, Prince Stavin,"
Jaspan replied. Stavin nodded.
"That was a bold step, Master Jaspan."
A female voice came from behind the wagon, saying,
"That was my idea, Stevie."
Stavin turned his head slowly and whispered,
"I know that voice."
Jaspan said, "My wife, Ralina."
Stavin shouted, "Ralina!"
and reined True around, urging her to the next wagon in line.
"Ralina, what are you doing here?"
Ralina laughed and said,
"Going home, Stavin,"
as he climbed onto her wagon.
"Wait, Jaspan said you're his wife. What happened to Hardan?"
Ralina's eyes narrowed as she growled,
"I caught him with Meran Belflonis. The prelate granted me a dissolution of our bond."
"That's surprising."
"What, you think I should have stayed with him?"
she demanded hotly. Stavin shook his head.
"No, I'm surprised you let him live."
Her expression changed rapidly for a moment, then she shook her head.
"I wanted to kill him, but I left him alive. That was 3 years ago. Jas and I were bonded last winter."
Ralina patted his shoulder.
"That's quite striking,"
Stavin said.
"Huh? Oh, the glow. Arendar's blessing has some side effects."
Ralina chuckled, but was prevented from saying anything by Karvik's arrival.
"Ralina, what are you doing here?"
She repeated her story for Karvik, and he laughed at her.
Stavin asked, "Why didn't you come see us last night?"
She smiled and spread both hands across her belly. It was only then that the men noticed she was heavily pregnant. She smiled at her old friends and said,
"I couldn't walk. My ankles were too swollen."
Stavin looked at Karvik, and both of them carefully didn't laugh. Stavin asked,
How much longer till you give birth?
A moon or so,
she answered with a smile.
We were supposed to be home by now.
Karvik looked at Stavin and said, We might not make it. Stavin nodded.
I'll drive the wagon if needed.
Rolina burst out laughing.
You two are so gallant. We have enough drivers, Stephen. The trouble will come with having a master on the lead wagon. I want Jas to be with me, and we're the only master traders.
Karvik looked at the lead wagon. Couldn't you... Rolina shook her head.
There's no room in his wagon. Not with Kimber cooking in there. I'll be giving birth in this wagon.
Karvik looked at Stavin and received a nod. Smiling at Rolina, he said,
I think between the two of us, we'll be able to keep the wagon straight.
The sun broke over the buildings, and Jespen shouted,
Zelkordal, let's go home.
With that, his wagon started rolling, and Rolina flicked her reins. Karvik was still mounted, but Stavin just settled down at Rolina's side. Grinning, Karvik tied True's reins to the back of the wagon, then went forward to ride beside the lead wagon. Chapter 31 Riding with the wagons was much slower than the riders alone had been. Stavin estimated that they were only going to cover 2 days' travel for every 3 days they plodded along at the wagon's pace, but he really didn't mind. Not having to be on alert as they rode let him think. The worship of Lady Sarin was the official religion of Evandia and the Evandian royal family. King Kaelin's reaction to Arendar's blessing might not be completely favorable. Stavin wasn't sure how he was going to handle the conflict. He knew there was an ancient temple of Arendar in Twin Bridges. He'd seen it a double hand of times. It was 2 buildings down from the Temple of Mary Death. Still, he'd never paid it any attention. He'd never even bothered to go into it. He shook his head and became aware of Rolina watching him.
Sorry. Don't be sorry, Stephen,
she replied with a smile.
I got used to you drifting off like that, lost in thought years ago. What were you thinking about this time?
Arendar, Lady Sarin, and how I'm going to explain all of this to King Kaelin.
Rolina nodded.
You are going to tell him the complete story, every bit of it. Let him make up his own mind. I'd bet he's already heard at least 2 versions of it.
Stavin gave her a curious look that made her giggle.
Stevie, I've heard 3 versions of it, but...
she said with a raised finger.
I've never heard the truth. I've never heard your version of how you became the Blessed of Arendar.
Stavin took a breath to begin, but she put a finger across his lips.
Not now,
she said with a tender smile.
Wait until we stop for the night. You can tell all of us at the same time after we eat.
Stavin bowed his head deeply.
Yes, Rolina.
Somewhat to his surprise, Stavin found himself easily falling back into the rhythm of the caravan. The day passed with the gentle rocking of the wagon lulling him toward sleep. Rolina nudged him awake and said,
Stavin, take the reins.
He did so automatically, then asked, What's wrong? She said,
Just drive,
and struggled past him into the back of the wagon. She returned after a short interval and sat beside him.
I really wanted to be home by now.
Stavin looked at her sideways before asking,
You're not going into labor, are you?
Rolina gave him an exasperated look and sighed.
No, of course not. She just keeps standing on my bladder.
Stavin clenched his teeth together and stared at the mule's ears. Rolina muttered,
That's right, Stevie. You'd better not laugh, or prince or not. You're getting thumped.
The caravan pulled off the road into a wide field just as the sun was setting. Stavin could recognize that it was a prepared camping spot by the covered well at one side, near the road. He was driving again, so he followed Jaspan's wagon as he circled for the night. Rolina stuck her head out and said,
Thank you, Stevie. I'll come help with the team.
Stavin laughed.
You'll have to fight Carr if you do. He stopped by and volunteered to take care of them.
"You, Master Rowlina, have enough to do."
He nodded toward her belly.
Rowlina muttered, "Why is it that men always assume pregnant women are helpless?"
Stavin shrugged and said,
"Preservation of the species,"
even though he knew she wasn't expecting an answer. Stavin climbed down just as Karvik and Jaspan arrived. Between the two of them, they almost lifted Rowlina off the wagon and placed her feet on the ground. She saw Stavin grinning and shook a fist at him.
"It's not funny, Stevie."
Karvik asked, "What's not funny?"
"How we treat pregnant women,"
Stavin replied, then dodged out of harm's way.
"Don't do that, Rowley. You'll just hurt your hand."
Rowlina glared at him, then shook her head and walked away. Karvik and Stavin saw to their horses first, and then the team. True would never have forgiven him if he'd seen to the mules first. The caravan had settled down, and an excellent meal was behind them when Rowlina nudged Stavin with her toe. She was seated on the ground, reclining against Jaspan, and she had her hands clasped across her belly.
"Tell us what really happened to you, Stevie."
Stavin smiled at her and proceeded to tell the entire caravan the story of what really happened in Aniston. He finished his tale with,
"So that's it. Like being dragon-blessed, I had nothing to do with it. Arendar chose me for his own reasons."
One of the traders blurted out, "But what about Rhi and the Blessed of Ravashanal?" And everyone gasped when Stavin's armor pulsed with light. Stavin said,
"Arendar doesn't like them being mentioned by name. As for the Draeger we called Servalan, we didn't know about the trouble she was causing until we were almost to Rheon the Glimmer. Our guess was that Arendar chose me to fight her, but it's only a guess."
Another of the traders asked, "Is this why the dragon blessed you?" Stavin shook his head and shrugged.
"I don't know, but I don't think so unless Arendar influenced her to do it. None of the stories I've read about Dandar Shandrake or the other dragons mentioned the ability to see the future."
"Why do you see her when you talk about the dragon?"
one of the younger traders asked in a timid tone.
"Because of Skycon,"
Stavin replied.
"When I let the dragon magic take control, I felt so many things, and among them was what I believe to be a distinctly female sentiment. I could be wrong, but that's what I believe."
Rowlina looked at him and said,
"You never told me that." "It was years later, Rowley, when we were pacifying Ferindia."
Rowlina gave him an eloquent look, then snuggled back against Jaspan. The caravan settled for the night with the 8 guards Jaspan had originally hired, taking the watch 2 at a time. Karvik detailed an additional team to patrol with them. That left the common mercenary guardsmen looking over their shoulders, but Karvik wasn't going to leave Stavin's protection to men he didn't know. Morning arrived far too early, and Sergeant Zelfordan made the rounds to awaken Stavin. Stavin hurried into his armor, then went out to find food. Jaspan's cook was an older woman named Kimber Bell Cordell. Where Saren's cook, Endar Bell Vandar, had been portly, verging on huge, Kimber was a tiny woman who would actually have to look up into Stavin's eyes, not that she'd ever be that brazen. Stavin went to the cook fire and was met by Karvik, who handed him a cup of kava and a bowl of oat porridge, sweetened with honey. Kimber turned and saw what Stavin was eating and fell to her knees, crying,
"Oh, blessed one, I never intended to serve you such poor fare. Please, tell me what you prefer, and I'll do my meager best to please you."
Rowlina had arrived just a breath before, and saved Stavin from having to answer.
"He's eating it now, Kim. Stephen's favorite morning meal is oat porridge with honey or dried fruit. About the only thing he ever eats with it is some lean meat or eggs."
Kimber begged,
"Mistress, forgive me."
"For what?"
"I didn't add anything."
Rowlina put her arm around the woman and turned her towards Stavin.
"Stevie."
Stavin stood and bowed slightly.
"Mistress Kimber, that was exactly what I wanted.
I started out as a caravan guard, and I guess deep down inside that's what I still am."
Rowlina patted her shoulder and said,
"You see, Stephen Kel Aniston was born a warrior of Kilcavan, and Dragonblessed, Prince or Blessed of Arendar. That's what he will always be."
Kimber bowed deeply, then turned back to her cooking. Rowlina gave her a fond smile, then turned to Stephen.
"What else can we get you?"
Stephen shook his head.
"I'm good. We're ready to go when you are."
"Very well,"
Rowlina said with a nod, then looked around for her husband. When she spotted him, she called out,
"Jas, mount up!"
Jaspan started shouting, and soon the traders were loading their wagons and hitching their teams. Stephen and Karvik saw to their horses, while several of the junior guardsmen helped Kimber pack her gear. Karvik leaned over and asked,
"What do you think she'd say if she knew the heir of Kilcarran and a descendant of Mary Death were among her helpers?"
Stephen laughed.
"She'd faint."
Stephen stayed on True's back until midday, then climbed up beside Rowlina again. She smiled at him and shook her head.
"Stevie, I'm not that fragile."
"True," he agreed. "You're about as fragile as Shari, but that's not the point. You, my friend, need a little help, and I'm here for you when you need it." Rowlina shook her head and muttered something about men that Stephen carefully ignored. They had traveled for 3 more days before they reached a line of forested hills. Just after the last wagon passed the edge of the trees, 6 men jumped out in front of Jaspan's wagon.
"There's a toll on this road, and we's the collectors," an unkempt man shouted.
Karvik led his team forward at the gallop, passing the wagons in an instant. The bandits hesitated for that instant, and it cost them their lives. Varric had ridden to the back of the caravan, but if any bandits were there, they didn't show themselves. It wasn't until they camped for the night that Stephen learned the details. He looked at Karvik and asked,
"How many?"
Karvik shrugged one shoulder and said, "None. I'll let my men have them all." Stephen grinned and shook his head.
"We'll award their stripes in a little while. What could those fools have been thinking?"
"They probably thought there were only those 8 guards Jaspan originally hired. I'd bet there were more men set to jump out behind and to the sides of the caravan, but after we rode by they thought better of it and just left the lead group to be slaughtered."
Stephen had to nod his agreement.
"I noticed those guards didn't make a move."
"Their leader did. He rode by my side and claimed 1 kill.
"Really? I haven't met him yet."
Karvik grinned.
"His name is Grovet Felvanis. He's a little put out by us taking over, but he's not fool enough to see anything. Jaspan is still going to pay them, so all he's missing out on is what he might have earned from his kills."
Stephen nodded, then went to the fire and settled down beside Jaspan and Rowlina. He accepted a cup of kava from Karvik, then sat back. Jaspan chuckled as he said,
"Those fools were so horribly surprised when Major Kilcarran attacked. On the way out, they attacked us at the same place. There were 20 of them, and they charged a silver crown for each of them to let us pass."
Rowlina was nodding.
"They've been here for years. No one knows for sure, but we think they have a settlement near here."
Grovet was just outside the circle of light, and now he stepped forward to bow.
"Your pardon, Master Jaspan, but that is quite likely true. I got a good look at the leader when they waylaid us in the spring, and he was among the men killed today."
Stephen shrugged.
"So maybe we made the road a bit safer today. It'll be up to the council and guild to deal with them from now on."
Rowlina was shifting uncomfortably. She finally said,
"Unless the guild decides to hire them instead. They are going to need someone to collect tolls on bridges and maintain the roads through rough territory like this."
Stephen grinned at Karvik and asked,
"Wouldn't that be a shock to their systems? Forced to become legitimate employees of the people they've been robbing?"
Grovet shrugged and said,
"That beats a sword in the gut, Your Highness."
Chapter 32. The caravan moved on in the morning, and was out of the hills before they camped again. Jaspan had a map, and was openly disappointed by their progress. When they camped 3 days later, he laid it out by the fire.
"We are days behind, even allowing for our late start. We should be at Naravad by now."
Rolina put a hand on his forearm and said,
"Calm down, Jas. We're only about 2 days behind schedule."
He put his hand on her belly and sighed.
"I just want to get you two home."
Rolina cuddled closer and put her head on his shoulder.
"We'll be fine."
2 days later they did indeed reach Naravad. The caravan slowed to a halt and Karvik rode back to Stavin's side.
"Trouble,"
was all he said before wheeling his horse around and riding forward again. Stavin swung down from Rolina's wagon and mounted True, then rode forward at a gallop. He reined her in beside Karvik.
"What now?"
he whispered. In front of the city were several hundred men in an odd assortment of armor and uniforms, but all of them were armed. A delegation of men rode out to meet them, and Karvik and Varik moved in front of Stavin. The men pulled their horses to a stop 10 paces from Karvik, and an emaciated little old man shouted,
"By order of the Traders' Guild, all caravans must be inventoried and taxed."
Stavin said,
"Let me through,"
and his men parted. As soon as Stavin's golden armor was seen, everyone got excited.
"I am Prince Stephen Zalandral, Minister of Trade for Evandia. I am the one who negotiated these treaties between the kingdoms. There was no mention of a tax being levied in the middle of the kingdom, only at the borders."
The old man looked like he wanted to spit at Stavin's feet.
"You may be a prince in Evandia, but this is Cavidia. You have no standing here."
Stavin carefully crossed his hands on his saddle horn.
"I am Master Trader Stavin Zalandral, owner of House Calaniston, member in good standing of the Cavadian Traders Guild, and a full member of the Aravad Traders Council. Try again."
The man's mouth worked as if he'd eaten something sour. Then he shook his head.
"It's no matter. I'm Senior Master Trader Vastan Belmorlan, leader of the Naravad Traders Guild Council. Your caravan will be inventoried and taxed 5% by order of the guild."
Jaspan had walked forward and now stood beside True. Looking at the man, he simply said,
"No."
The old man screamed,
"What do you mean, no?"
Jaspan looked at him and replied, "Exactly what I said. No. No, we will not pay you 5%. Even at the border we only had to pay 2.5%, and I'm pretty sure that didn't make it to the guild coffers."
"You cannot defy the guild."
"I am a Cavidian Master Trader Jaspan Kelcordal of House Zelcordal. You do know who the leader of my house is, don't you?"
Jaspan smiled evilly.
"Uncle Perrit never has had much patience with your kind, Master Vastan."
"Then you'll not pass. I have 200 men at my command."
Jaspan looked up at Stavin, then back to Master Vastan.
"How many of them are willing to fight the Blessed of Arendar?"
Vastan screamed,
"That's a lie!"
Rolina's voice came from behind Jaspan as she shouted,
"I challenge you!"
Jaspan and Stavin both looked behind them as Rolina waddled forward.
"Senior Master Trader Vastan Belmorlan, for the insult you've given my husband, I challenge you."
"You,"
the trader sneered,
"a pregnant bitch about to whelp."
"I am Master Trader Rolina Nevandar Kelcordal."
Master Vastan looked her up and down, then said,
"You are nothing. Even at my age I can kill you easily."
Rolina smiled. Stavin, Jaspan, and Karvik exchanged worried glances. They all knew that expression.
"There is one here who owes me a life. I call upon him to honor that debt as my champion."
"Name your champion, then."
Rallina smiled as she said,
"Dragon-blessed Senior War Master, Prince Stephen Markan Carvan Dukilin Ne Aniston Zel Andral, former King of Karivia, Master of Hoskel Aniston, Blessed of Arendar the Bright."
Even the horses remained silent until Stephen said,
"I am honor-bound to accept, but forbidden by my king's command. I offer my brother-in-law to pay my debt."
Varric stepped forward, and his voice rumbled as he replied,
"I am honored to accept on behalf of my sister's husband."
Now even the armored men at Master Varstan's side looked worried. Varric was taller than most men, but hadn't started to broaden at the shoulder like his father. Still, he was in the full armor of the warriors of Kel'Kavin, and none of the men could see how young he really was. Master Varstan looked at him, then nodded.
"You're a swordsman, I see. As the challenged, I choose the weapons."
Varric bowed, so he continued.
"I choose dragon's tongues."
Varric didn't laugh. He bowed and said,
"Very well. I choose here and now to settle this dispute."
Master Varstan laughed, and almost leapt from the back of his horse.
"Ever handle a dragon's tongue, boy? It's not like a sword where power can pull through an opponent's guard. With a dragon's tongue, you have to have skill."
Stephen didn't wait to be asked. He simply pulled his tongue from its sheath and handed it to Varric.
"Clean it when you're done."
"Wait, that's not..."
"Not what?"
Rallina demanded.
"Stephen made his first kill with that tongue, guarding my Nana Saren's caravan. I made my first two kills with it, saving Stephen's life the next year. And Lieutenant Varric Kelhovel of the Evandian Royal Guard made his first kill with it, saving her sister and her family. Look at his shoulder, you old fool. He's a warrior of Kel'Kavin, and you'll be his 13th kill."
One of the younger men at Master Varstan's side stepped forward.
"This has gone too far. Stop it, stop it immediately, or I'll champion Senior Master Varstan."
Varric bowed and said,
"If that is his wish."
The man drew his sword and stepped forward until Varric said,
"Dragon's tongues? It was his choice."
The man froze in his tracks, then looked at Varric and said,
"First blood, then."
Varric bowed, then stepped into the circle that five of the men had quickly drawn. The man faced him, and they both bowed. Varric let the man move first, then spun Stavin's dragon's tongue underhanded, bringing his bottom blade up to take his opponent's right hand off at mid-forearm. Varric stepped back and said,
"First blood is drawn,"
while his opponent screamed. He carefully cleaned the blood from Stavin's weapon, then handed it back.
"You've maimed me,"
the man screamed. Varric nodded.
"You should have let me face that old fool."
Master Varstan asked,
"Do you realize who you just crippled? That's Captain Moral Calderis at the Kelportan Guards."
Stephen went absolutely still. He said,
"So this is where you ended up after Skycon,"
in a near whisper.
"I don't know what you mean. I was already here when Skycon fell,"
he gasped.
Stephen growled, "So you see, but I despise all of you Kelportan guards."
Turning his attention to the pasty-faced old man, he said,
"Now, Senior Master Varstan, take your followers back to your city, but rest assured that the Kavadian Master Council will hear of this, as will the Aravad Council."
You are bound to obey the guild."
"Yes, but you are not the guild. You are just a grasping, conniving, poor old man with delusions of grandeur."
"You can't insult me like that,"
Varric sniggered.
"He just did."
"I'll..."
"You'll what?"
Varric interrupted.
"Challenge him. I'll simply champion him again."
"I have 200 men behind me."
Rallina took one step forward and loudly said,
"And if you attack Prince Stephen of Evandia, you'll be at war with Evandia. If you attack Prince Stephen, the former king and current heir of Kerevia, you'll be at war with Kerevia. If you attack Prince Stephen, the hero of Renedia, you'll be at war with Renedia. If you attack Prince Stephen, the blessed of Arendar, you'll probably be at war with Luxandia as well.
She smiled, but it looked like a snarl.
And if you attack a member of the Aravad Traders' Council, you'll be at war with the Guild and Council.
Jaspen stepped over to his wife's side and asked, Are you men of Nerevad that anxious to have every man's hand turned against you? Behind the lead delegation, men had already started returning to the city. Master Vastan was spitting and sputtering, but even he wasn't fool enough to incur the wrath of five kingdoms and his own master council to collect taxes he wasn't supposed to be collecting. Without a word, he turned, mounted his horse, and galloped away. All of his followers were close on his heels. Jaspen led his wife away. Stavin, Karvik, and their men remained standing in the road. Stavin turned and saw that Varric looked dejected and asked, What's wrong, Var? Varric shook his head and muttered, I could have gotten my star. Stavin and Karvik's howls of laughter chased the last of Master Varstan's men into Nerevad. The caravan stopped and purchased supplies from the traders of Nerevad, but no one entered the city. There was a caravansary, but Jaspen chose to camp out away from town, rather than give the Nerevad council a single spark. As night fell, the people of Nerevad left the city and surrounded the caravan. Karvik was getting ready to repulse and attack when a young woman came to the edge of the wagons and asked,
Will the Blessed of Arendar speak to us?
Stavin put his hand on Karvik's forearm and shook his head.
Let me deal with this. Stay ready. I know you will anyway, but let me address the crowd.
Steve!
I know, Kar, I'll be careful. I think I'll climb up on Jaspan's wagon. That'll let more people see and hear me.
Karvik put his head in his hands, then said,
Just wear your armor. You on top of a wagon usually ends badly.
Stavin laughed, then went to climb Jaspan's wagon. He was wearing everything but his helmet, and the glow of Arendar's blessing was clearly visible to everyone. Once Stavin came into view, the crowd went silent and knelt. Stavin's voice rang across the crowd.
Good people of Nerevad, hear me! The Kavadian Traders' Guild has entered into a treaty with the five kingdoms that border Kavadia. Those treaties provide for a 5% tax on caravans entering Kavadia, unless the caravan is Kavadian. Kavadian caravans are to be taxed 2.5%. The unpleasantness today was a misunderstanding of the purpose of the tax. Kavadia, under the guidance of the Traders' Guild, is going to turn herself into a nation. That nation will deal with the bandits that have made Kavadia their home.
Blessed one,
a voice shouted.
Are you going to lead us? Are you going to be our king?
Stavin shook his head.
No. The Traders Guild Master Council will be your king and council. At least that's the latest I heard.
But what of you? Another voice shouted.
I am returning to my family in Evandia. But I heard you were going to establish Arendar's worship in Kavadia,
a dark-haired girl at the front shouted.
I heard Arendar was going to drive out Lebawan and Sarin and all the others, and we were going to have to worship him.
Stavin looked down at her and smiled.
That is not my purpose. If you wish to worship Arendar, or any of the gods, you are free to do so, even Lebawan. The choice to worship must be freely made.
Is that it, then? A man's voice shouted. You're just going to pass us by and take Arendar's blessing to Evandia. What of us?
Stavin started to answer, but he was suddenly flooded with that familiar feeling of tremendous power. His armor brightened until every face was illuminated. Then his hand came up, and an echoing voice that wasn't his own said,
Let the light of Arendar, the bright, shield you from evil, and let the love of the gods above fill your souls.
Everyone hid their faces. Hundreds of people all around the caravan, all except 9 people directly in front of Jaspan's wagon. They gave one another a look, then vanished. Stavin felt the power of Arendar leave him, then he climbed down from the wagon and went to the fire. Kimba saw him coming and hid her face, but he simply sat down beside her.
"Mistress Kimba, may I have some kava, please?"
Kimba looked up at him and seemed relieved to find Stavin's familiar smile.
"At once, Prince Stephen."
Karvik, Jaspan, and Ralina soon joined him. Karvik said,
"I see Arendar decided to join the fun,"
as he sat.
"Stevie?"
Ralina asked in a timid, almost frightened tone. Stavin smiled up at her and said,
"It's just me, Raleigh. Thank you, Kimba."
He paused and sipped his kava.
"Arendar decided to let the others know he was watching." "The others?"
Jaspan asked in a tone that was even more timid than his wife had used. Stavin nodded his head.
"All of them were here. The ones asking the questions, trying to goad me on, were representations of the gods below."
"Doesn't that go against your theory about how the gods operate?"
Ralina asked, tilting her head to the side to look up into his eyes.
"No, I mean it was them in the flesh, not them overshadowing people to control them. We know ancient Vashkan worshipped the gods, with Esho as their highest deity. We now know, thanks to that well where you left the bucket, that ancient Vashkan extended at least that far east. We're in Vashkan right now."
He paused to take another sip of his kava.
"These lands were once the home of people who directly worshipped the gods below and above. I think there's an echo of that time still resonating in these lands and their people. And I think one or more of the gods likes the idea of these people returning to their worship."
"Arendar?"
Karvik asked.
"No,"
Stavin replied with a shake of his head.
"No, I think it was Noka and Marinova who were driving that little drama."
He shook his head.
"I think Marinova was that girl who came to the caravan and asked me to speak to them."
Karvik sighed.
"She was really cute."
Varric was standing behind Karvik and said,
"And blonde. I bet Noka looked like her twin with black hair."
Stavin looked over his shoulder and said,
"I couldn't see, but I think you're right."
Ralina's voice was hushed as she asked,
"You think the gods, the real, ancient gods above and below, were here, really here, in the flesh?"
Stavin nodded.
"That's what I think."
Jaspan whispered,
"You're so calm,"
as he looked across the fire. Stavin shrugged, saying,
"Arendar is always with me. I can feel him every waking moment."
Jaspan shook his head slightly before replying,
"Not you, Prince Stephen. Them,"
he said, pointing to Karvik and Varric. Karvik chuckled and shook his head as he smiled.
"Hang around, Steve, long enough, and you'll learn to take everything in stride. A godstorm on the coast, amulets of the evilest one, Marinova reminding you how far you are from home."
He grinned up at Varric and laughed.
Varric sighed. "Oh, gods. She almost made me...
Never mind."
"What happened?"
Ralina all but demanded.
"I touched Marinova's temple in Aniston, and she, well... She touched me back."
Ralina looked closely at his expression, then said,
"Oh, that must have been some touch."
Stavin smiled and added,
"It didn't help that Marinova Zell Aniston was there, and she's an exceptionally attractive woman."
"And that priestess,"
Karvik murmured in a dreamy tone. Stavin breathed a soft sigh and said,
"Oh, yes. She was stunning, wasn't she?"
Ralina snarled,
"Men!"
and then got up and walked away. Karvik looked around and asked,
"What we see?"
Chapter 33 The caravan made preparations to leave Nerevad as soon as there was enough light to safely travel. Karvik had brought his team out to back up Varric's team on the last watch, but nothing happened. They had all of the horses ready to move long before he went to wake Steven.
"The sky is starting to brighten, Steve,"
he said as he went to one knee beside Steven's tent. Steven answered, "Blah," as he pushed his tent flap aside.
"Early, aren't you?"
"No," Karvik replied, holding a steaming cup of kava near Steven's nose.
"Jaspan wants to be gone before Nerevad wakes up."
Steven crawled out on his elbows and said,
"Probably a good idea."
He stood and armored up as well as he could, then took the cup from Karvik and sipped while Kar fastened his last buckles. Two junior guardsmen had struck Steven's tent before he'd taken his second sip. He watched them pack his gear and followed them as they went to the horses. Ralina met him with a stuffed roll.
"We got good sausages from the caravansary, so eat in the saddle. Jas thinks that grasping fool might try something else, and I don't want another Valavat."
Steven said,
"Yes, Ralina,"
automatically, then went to True's side.
"Ready to go, girl?"
True had her head up, watching the surroundings, as if she was looking for trouble. All the horses did. That above everything else bothered Steven, so he mounted and rode her to the front of the caravan.
"Jas, something has the horses spooked. I'm ordering my men to be extra alert, and you should do the same."
Jaspan gave him a strange, silent look for a moment, then bowed.
"The word has been passed, Prince Steven."
Steven nodded and said,
"Good,"
then rode off to find Karvik. Karvik saw him coming and said,
"Everyone is on alert for trouble."
Steven nodded, then looked over his shoulder.
"Jaspan is acting strangely."
"He's never seen you act like this, Steve."
Steven gave him a puzzled look.
"Act like what?"
Karvik looked him over. Steven was sitting forward in the saddle, back straight, and his dragon's tongue was in his hand. Nodding once, he said,
"Like a war master."
Steven paused, then shrugged and said,
"He'd better get used to it."
The wagons began to roll, and Steven positioned himself next to Ralina's wagon. He noted that Varric was on her other side, then focused his attention outward. The land around them was still too dark to see any distance. Even so, he felt a threat. Someone or something was out there. The caravan picked up speed as the land brightened, and Steven started to relax a little. Ralina looked at him and asked,
"Do you think we're safe now?"
Steven nodded.
"Yes, I think so. Why?" "I need you to take over for a bit. My back's killing me."
Steven brought True around and tied her reins to the back of the wagon, then agilely swung over and climbed into the seat.
"Go on back and lay down, Raleigh. Take your time."
Ralina crawled into the back of the wagon. Varric looked at Steven, and they shared a silent shrug. The feeling of dread, of wrongness, faded as the day wore on. Ralina stayed in the back of the wagon all day. She didn't even come out to eat, silently accepting a stuffed roll, then going back again. Steven drove through the whole day. Karvik and Varric rode by his side, neither of them speaking, but both of them casting worried looks at the back of the wagon. Jaspan pulled into a prepared camping spot early that evening. The sun had spans left before it set, but Steven had used handspeak to tell Karvik what to do. While two traders saw to his team, Jaspan climbed into Ralina's wagon. He asked,
"Are you all right, darling?"
as he caressed her hair.
Ralina nodded. "Just tired, and my back hurts."
Jaspan moved closer and gave her a hug.
"I'm going to ask Prince Steven to take the lead in the morning. I want to be back here with you."
Ralina shifted, then grumbled,
"I don't want to give birth in here."
"Say the word and we'll stop." Ralina shook her head.
"No, I want to go home, Jas. Ask Lyssa to come ride with me. She's the closest we have to a midwife."
"I already did,"
he whispered as he kissed her forehead. Steven and Karvik were waiting outside the wagon when Jaspan climbed out. Karvik asked,
"How is she?"
She's not ready yet, but she's close. Master Stephen, he turned and bowed, would you take the lead in the morning?
Stephen bowed slightly as he replied, I would be honored.
The night was quiet, and the dawn showed them a clear, cloudless sky. Kimber prepared the morning meal, but everyone was watching Rowlina's wagon. Jaspan finally climbed out and came to the fire. At Stephen's questioning glance, he shook his head, collected two meals, then returned to the wagon. Stephen spoke softly as he ordered, Prepare to roll. Car, you take Rowlina's wagon. Have Private Kalhastan drive. Far, you take the offside. If she goes into labor, we stop and circle the wagons around her. The guardsmen all bowed, and a breath later so did all the traders. Stephen looked around, then went to get True.
Sorry, girl. No ride today. We're going to take the lead, though. I know how much you like that.
She shook her mane and blew at him, then let him tie her reins to Jaspan's wagon. Karvik rode to his side and said, We're ready to roll. Stephen climbed into the seat and said,
Pass the word quietly, Car. Let's roll.
He flicked the reins and Jaspan's mule started walking. Behind them, all the wagons fell into line and the guards took their places. Grovit Fel Vanis took his place by the lead wagon and bowed in the saddle to Stephen. He gave Stephen an intense look, shook his head, then faced front without saying a word. Stephen set an easy pace. He didn't want to jar Rowlina any more than he had to. The day passed quietly, with Kimber cooking behind him and the road stretching out in front. The sun was already down when they reached a campsite. Stephen cast a worried glance at Rowlina's wagon, then saw to the business of tending the caravan. Late in the night, a scream rolled over the caravan. Everyone was instantly awake, and most of them were armed. Royal guard, caravan guard, or trader, everyone at least had a knife ready to defend their caravan. Moments later, another scream sounded, and every eye was drawn to Rowlina's wagon. Stephen saw Jaspan sitting on the wagon seat and walked over. Placing a hand on the seat, he gave it a little shake to get Jaspan's attention.
You should come away from there, Jaspan.
Jaspan was obviously torn between wanting to stay at Rowlina's side and knowing Stephen was right. He finally climbed down and let Stephen lead him to the watchfire. Stephen and Karvik bracketed Jaspan and made him sit down. A pot of hideously strong kava was over the fire, and Stephen poured for all three of them. If Jaspan thought there was anything odd about a prince pouring him kava, he didn't mention it. Another scream drew their attention, and Jaspan started to rise, but both Stephen and Karvik held him down. Karvik said,
You have to let the women see to this themselves, Jas. Wives tend to see unfortunate things to and about their husbands while giving birth.
Stephen picked up where Karvik left off.
Just let the midwife take care of her.
Jaspan was turning his cup around and around in his hand, and as the night wore on, Stephen closed his eyes. He silently prayed,
Kind Alankara, beautiful Marinova, I beseech you, please bring Rowlina through this.
The sun rose with no sign of the baby. Stephen decided, without consulting Jaspan, to remain where they were. There was some grumbling from the traders, but Stephen just glared at those individuals until they closed their mouths and walked away. It was just past midday when Kalina Kelcordal finally howled at the indignity of birth, and everyone breathed a sigh of relief. Stephen retained control of the caravan. There was no reason to take Jaspan away from his wife and child. The town of Jeras Bridge came into view early the third day. Kimber had finally warmed to Stephen enough to say,
Be careful here, Master Stephen. They'll charge you too much for the crossing if you're not on your guard.
Stephen bowed his head to her and said,
Thank you.
He kept the caravan going until they were stopped at the bridge.
Stop there, if you will, good Master Trader. How many wagons and riders do you have?
12 wagons and 41 riders.
That's a lot of guards for such a small caravan. You hauling something good?
Stavin smiled. Only 8 are caravan guards. The rest are a bunch of Evandians going home. The man nodded.
What house are you from?
Stavin pointed at the glyph on the side of the wagon. Zell Cordel, from Aravad.
And the Evandians? Is that meddling prince among them?
Stavin chuckled.
He is. Very well, you know the toll. A silver for each wagon, and 2 sparks per rider.
Kimber whispered,
1 spark per rider.
Here now,
Stavin said loudly. What kind of fool do you take me for? I may be young, but I've got my vest. 1 spark per rider is the going rate. The tollkeeper gave Stavin a stubborn look, then shrugged.
You pay what I tell you to pay, or you can swim the river.
Karvik and Varik rode up on opposite sides of the wagon. Karvik asked,
Is there a problem, War Master Zalandral?
No, War Leader Kulkarin, just a dispute over the amount of the toll. The tollkeeper was staring wide-eyed at Stavin as his mouth eased open, then took a step back.
You're him! You're him, aren't you? You're the dragon blessed that prince.
He didn't wait any longer. Turning, he took off at a dead run along the river's edge. Stavin, Karvik, and Varik laughed uproariously until a prosperous-looking woman walked up and bowed.
Prince Stavin, I am Cedar Fell Beristan. I own the Strutting Cock Inn. Can we persuade you to stay the night?
Stavin shook his head. It's much too early to stop, and we're in a hurry to get home. That toll collector of yours is going to cause a problem if he keeps that up.
The innkeeper bowed deeply.
Unfortunately true, Prince Stephen. That fool Shardin has been trying to cheat people all year. The toll is a silver per wagon and a spark per rider.
Stavin laughed, then handed down a handful of coins.
I was prepared for that. Good day, innkeeper Felberistan.
The innkeeper bowed and backed away, and Stavin flicked his reins to get the mules moving again. The bridge wasn't that long, and the caravan was soon travelling up the road again. Stavin kept them going until they reached a good camping spot near dark. The first thing Stavin did once the caravan was parked was checked on Ralina. Jaspan was on the wagon seat looking around. Stavin whispered,
Who are they? Sleeping at last,
he whispered back. Stavin grinned and waved him down. They walked over to the fire, and Kimber handed him a cup of kava.
You just have a seat, Master Jas, and I'll have your food ready soon. How is the baby?
As beautiful as her mother and as difficult as her father. Kimber joined everyone in laughing at Jaspan's comment, then turned back to her duties. Stavin watched her go, then turned back to Jaspan.
You owe her a silver crown. She warned me that the tollkeeper a way back was going to try and cheat me.
Jeras Bridge? Jaspan asked. When Stavin nodded, he continued.
There was trouble with him on the way out as well. I had to get their mare involved.
Stavin laughed and told the story.
Once he realized who I was, he started running and didn't stop.
I would have as well, Jaspan said as he sipped his kava.
You have quite a reputation, Prince Stavin.
Stavin just laughed. Chapter 34 The caravan spent the night quietly and moved on in the morning. Kalina was 10 days old before her father felt comfortable enough to take over the caravan again.
Thank you, Master Stavin. You've proven yourself to be a true friend.
My pleasure, Master Jaspan.
It took another 19 days to reach Aravad, and by then the ground was blanketed with a cubit of snow. Karvik looked at it and shook his head.
If the gap isn't closed by now, it will be by the time we get to Kelcavan. Sorry, Steve, but we can't risk going up there.
Stavin grumbled, but eventually nodded.
So we'll continue to Twin Bridges after I speak to the council.
They stayed with the caravan all the way to the Zelkordal compound. Once Ralina was inside, Stavin veered off, leading his men to the Rowan Tree Inn.
"Prince Stephen, it's wonderful!"